I said yesterday that the event we pondered on Sunday, the Transfiguration, would not be mentioned again in Lent. But I mentioned it yesterday, and I want to mention it again today. Because of how it was left, Jesus told the disciples not to say anything to anyone about the vision until the Son of Man rose from the dead. And so they kept it to themselves. This was Sunday's gospel. They kept it to themselves, and they kept wondering, what does it mean to rise from the dead? And what I said yesterday is that it was like a seed planted in the heart. It was something they kept in their memory. They kept pondering it. Well, since we're in the year of Saint Joseph, I think we can apply this to Saint Joseph as well. Now, Joseph was not there. He was not on the mountain of the Transfiguration. In fact, as far as we know, he never saw anything glorious. As far as we know, he didn't see any glorious visions. He didn't see Jesus do anything miraculous. Even the message, or the messages that he received from God, were in dreams. So he had a darker journey. He didn't see the Transfiguration, but he received the message that this son of Mary is Son of God. And he kept that in his heart. So he did the, and imagine, he would have wanted to tell everybody he's got the greatest news. He knows the greatest thing that's ever happened, and he can't tell anyone except his wife. Joseph and Mary, imagine what they talked about, and Jesus, but nobody else. So that's why I'm bringing it up again, because we were left on Sunday with this secret, as if we were being told that there are some things to take in and let them grow inside for a while. And that's what the apostles did until after the resurrection. And certainly that's what Joseph did. Saint Joseph, he had a lot inside that he didn't proclaim. But in this year, we're focusing on him. And in a sense, he is proclaiming to us now all the mysteries of faith. Let's take a look at today's readings. In the first reading, we turn to Isaiah, and it is a very strong word, a challenge to set sin aside, a challenge to wash yourselves clean. This is a little different than we had yesterday. Yesterday, the prophet was speaking about, that was Daniel yesterday, he was speaking about the sins of the people. He was acknowledging how sinful the people are, how sinful the nation is. It was a humble acknowledgement. This, and that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to truthfully acknowledge, recognize and acknowledge our sinfulness. But it doesn't always happen. So sometimes the prophet's mission is to shake us out of our self-righteousness, our complacency. And so the prophet says, "Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah." The words Sodom and Gomorrah are deliberately shocking. To be accused of being people of Sodom and Gomorrah is to be accused of the most evil that was practically in the whole Old Testament. In other words, the prophet's saying, you're really evil. You have really fallen to a low point. Stop this business of sin. Wash yourselves clean. Put away misdeeds. It's a strong challenge. Now, so that we don't take this as a representation of God as a stern, condemning master, the middle of the reading is quite gentle. The beginning of the reading is quite strong, and the end is quite strong. If you refuse and resist, the sword shall consume you, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, that sounds like one stern judge. The Lord is a stern judge in this sense. He wants to wake us up. He wants the message to penetrate past our defenses of pride. So that is true, but that's not the whole picture, because God is also a gentle, loving Father. And this is what we see from the middle reading, the middle part of this reading from Isaiah. Now remember, this is God speaking through Isaiah to get to us, to awake us up. We're not like Daniel in yesterday's first reading. We're not humbling ourselves and admitting our sin and asking for mercy. We are, in this context, we're hard-hearted and proud. And we think we're doing pretty well. So after he says, okay, wake up and recognize where the problem really is, then he says, this is very gentle, I think it's beautiful. Come now, let us set things right. Let's work this thing out. Yeah, you're a mess, but it's not a hopeless mess. Let's set this right. Though your sins be like scarlet, meaning very serious and very offensive to God, they can become white as snow. There's hope. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. This message, this challenge, is not intended to discourage us, but to encourage us. Not to condemn us, but to save us. And that's exactly what we learn from the ministry of Jesus. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved, that we would be saved. So this is the first reading. The message of the first reading: take sin seriously. Don't think that it's a trite or insignificant matter. It's serious, but it's not hopeless. It's possible to be made clean. It's possible to be white as snow, white as wool. Now, this is the mission that Jesus is performing all the time, calling people to repentance and showing them the way to be clean, to be whole. In today's gospel, we might be a little bit surprised that Jesus is talking not to the people who have the biggest problem, the scribes and the Pharisees, but to the crowds about the scribes and Pharisees. I say this might take us by surprise because it sounds like gossip to us. Why is he talking about those guys to these people? He should tell them directly. You know, that's the principle. Don't talk to other people. I don't talk to people about other people's wrongdoing. If you're going to correct someone, correct them to his face, or don't say anything. Otherwise, we fall into the trap of gossip. Sometimes this microphone gets very hypersensitive and I have to back off from it. Okay, so that's what happens in us. And that's not what Jesus is doing. Remember, Jesus never hesitated to correct the scribes and Pharisees to their face. There's lots of passages in the Gospels where Jesus says, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you are not listening. He does what Isaiah does in the first reading. You're like the princes of Sodom. So Jesus is not talking behind their back. He has made every effort to reach them. So why is he talking about them to the crowds and to the disciples? Because there's an important lesson here for everyone. Yes, the scribes and the Pharisees have to change, but they're also in authority. They are as he says here, they're seated on the chair of Moses. They have a rightful place. Jesus, even when he is sharply critical of them, he doesn't knock them off their chair. He just calls them to repentance. But they still have their place. And so Jesus, respecting that authority, says, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you. When they teach you about God, and they teach you the word of God, when they proclaim what the prophets and the law say, well, welcome that. They're supposed to do that, and we're supposed to welcome it. But do not follow their example. See how careful Jesus is here. This is not gossip about how bad the Pharisees are. It's an instruction about discernment. Take what's good and leave what's not good. Respect what is true and distance yourself from what is not true. Don't disrespect what should be respected, but don't be led down the wrong path either. Don't treat leaders as if they're gods. So this is he's explaining this to the disciples so that they can see where to, what to take and what not to take. What they should not take is this, the terrible tendency of the Pharisees and of pretty much everybody to do things for show, to turn everything toward self. It's more dangerous for religious people because religion is certainly for God and for neighbor, and we can use it for ourselves. So this is what the Pharisees are doing. They're using their position, which is not a wrong position, but they're using it for themselves. Places of honor, greetings, high praises, special titles, special clothing, and all these things. All their works are performed to be seen, meaning they're all performed in order to gain something for themselves from the people who see them. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. In fact, this echoes what we learned, well, it's almost 2 weeks ago now, Ash Wednesday. Remember, Ash Wednesday's gospel told us, don't do things just to be seen. Don't pray in order to be seen. Pray in secret. Don't fast in order to be seen. Fast in secret. Don't give alms in order to be seen. Keep it hidden so that you don't fall into this trap. So this echoes that message from Ash Wednesday. Jesus brings it to a concise conclusion by saying, instead of using everything for yourself, put yourself at the service of everyone. The greatest among you must be your servant. Meaning, if we want to be great, we must willingly serve. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever exalts himself. Now that's why he's pointing to the example of the Pharisees, not talking behind their back, not gossiping about them, but pointing out this public error. They're exalting themselves. Don't do that. Don't exalt yourself. If God exalts you, puts you in a position where you're going to receive honor, well, let God do that if he wants to. It's a little dangerous. But that does happen. And God puts us in positions where we have to take responsibility or take authority, and we should be honored for it. Parents should be honored. If you're head of the household, you should be honored for that. Don't use it for yourself. Use it for your family. If you have a responsibility in the parish or in the community, use it for God's glory and for the good of the people. Don't use it for yourself. Don't exalt yourself. That's the message here. Don't think that the sin of self-righteousness, the sin of doing everything in order to be seen, is a light sin. Jesus is he's doing what Isaiah did in the Old Testament reading. He's trying to wake us up to the problem here. The Pharisees, they were slow to wake up, and so are we. So this is why this gospel is set side by side with this strong message from Isaiah. This is also a strong message. Wake up. Don't exalt yourself. Don't rise up as the greatest. What's the solution? Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever humbles himself. The people that we don't see or that go unnoticed are the greatest. Maybe that's why Saint Joseph came to mind. He humbled himself. He had the greatest message. He had the greatest truth, right, living in his house. He didn't take any of it to himself. So we can apply this to him as well, but the more important thing is to apply it to ourselves. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. To humble ourselves is to serve, to do our duty, to do what's right, not to do what is impressive to anyone else, and to put ourselves at the service of God and others.